فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. So by the mercy of Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you were lenient with them. When? When they made a mistake. When they disobeyed you. Just imagine, if somebody does not follow the rules, does not follow the instructions, and because they didn't follow the instructions, everybody suffers. How upset would you be at them? How upset would you be with them? A lot. Because it didn't just affect them, but it affected everybody. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character. That despite the fact that some people had disobeyed him, those people who had been appointed at the mount to guard the back of the Muslim army, when they moved from there, they disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very lenient towards them. So over here Allah says, it is by the mercy of Allah, it is by the rahmah of Allah, that linta lahum, you were lenient towards them. Linta is from the root letters lam, ya, noon, from the word lean. And lean, literally it means gentleness, softness. It is to be flexible. And lean is used for gentleness in dealing with someone. To be gentle and easy in dealing with someone. So out of the mercy of Allah, you were lenient and gentle in dealing with them. That you tolerated their mistake. You weren't harsh towards them, despite their disobedience. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ, and if you were, فَظًّا, rude, غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, hard-hearted, then what would have happened? لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have gone away from you. They would have dispersed away from you. If you were, فَظًّا. The word fal is from the root letters fa, la, la. And fal is used for rudeness or coarseness of character. Rudeness, roughness of one's behavior. When a person is impolite, rude in his speech, in his dealing with others. It is said that fal literally is filthy and dirty liquid. It is basically used for filthy liquid that is with farath, and farath is used for dung, cow dung, or something like that. So just imagine something so filthy, something so repugnant that you, just the thought of it, just the sound of it, makes a person very averse towards it. So this is what the word literally is. And fal is used for someone who is very harsh, very rude, very coarse in his speech in particular. Someone who is very harsh and coarse in his speech. So for example, he uses a lot of foul words. He curses other people. He insults other people. In his manner, in his style of speech, he's very condescending. He uses swear words. So if you were fal, meaning if you were ill-natured, if you were karihul khuluq, if you had a khuluq that was very karih, very repugnant, if you used harsh language with them, what happens generally? If there is a leader, and if those who are under him, they disobey him, or if they don't do what is expected of them, how does a leader typically react to them? And in the anger, what is he going to do? He's going to start swearing at them, or shouting at them, using harsh words that you can't even repeat them. For instance, sometimes you might have seen some shows in which, you know, words are bleeped. Why? Because every second, every next statement, every next shout has a swear word in it. So this is what fazl is. Someone who is very harsh and rude in his speech. Many times, remember, again, in normal circumstances, we can pretend to be very nice. But when we're angry, then the reality comes forth. What kind of words do we use when we're upset? When we're angry? We should check ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ was not false. Allah is saying, if you were false, what does it mean? He was not false. He did not use harsh language, even when he was very upset, even when he was angry. And if you were غليظ القلب, if you were hard-hearted, غليظ القلب from the root letters غين لام ظا. غلظة is used for the thickness or the hardness of something. When something is thick, when it's bulky, when it's big. And from this, the word is used for the harshness or the hardness of the heart. غليظ القلب is someone who is very hard-hearted. What does it mean by this, someone who is very hard-hearted? That he is not affected by what the other person is going through. For instance, you know, there is a leader, there is a person who is in charge, and there are people who are beneath him, there are people who are working under him. Now one of his workers is sick, not feeling well. But what does this ghaliz al-qalb person do? I don't care if you're sick or if you're not. You still have to do what you're supposed to do. I don't care if you forgot. I don't care if you made a mistake. It's like saying statements such as, don't tell me about how hard you work, but tell me about what you've accomplished. So this is what harsh-hearted person is. Hard-hearted person is that nothing affects him. The difficult situation of the other person does not affect him at all. He is not moved. If he is spoken to nicely, if he is spoken to humbly, it doesn't affect him. If someone even talks to him harshly, that even doesn't affect him. So this is what غليظ القلب person is. Someone who is very harsh-hearted. It is said that فَضْ is in speech and غليظ القلب is reflected in a person's actions. فَضْ is reflected in a person's speech and غليظ القلب is reflected in a person's behavior, in his actions. He doesn't care if the other person is sick or he's old or he's unwell or it's not within his capacity. No, he doesn't care. He just wants his work done. He just wants to be obeyed. He doesn't care about the other person at all. He just wants that his goal should be met. And as for being hard-hearted, the Prophet ﷺ, we learn about him that once he kissed Hassan radhiyallahu anhu, his grandson, while Aqra ibn Habis at-Tamim, he was sitting beside him. Al-Aqra, he said to the Prophet, I have 10 children and I have never kissed any one of them. I have 10 children and I have never kissed any one of them. The Prophet ﷺ cast a look at him and he said, whoever is not merciful to others will not be treated mercifully. And according to others, he said that if Allah has not put mercy in your heart, affection in your heart, then what can be done? Mercy in a person's heart or affection for others in a person's heart is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person is غليظ القلب, then the cuteness of a child does not affect him. You know how some people, they look at a cute child, they can't just keep the feeling within themselves, they have to say something, they have to go hold the child, they have to do something. And other people, it's as if the child doesn't exist. Similarly, if a person is walking with a lot of difficulty, there is one person who senses that difficulty and he goes and talks to the other person, he asks him, he helps him, and another person, it's as if that other person doesn't exist. It is as if the person who is walking with difficulty is perfectly fine. He is normal. This is what غليظ القلب is. That you see, you notice, you feel the difficulty of the other person, but it doesn't change your heart. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't bring about any emotion in the heart. And some people, they are like this only to, you know, keep other people fearful of them. And they think that if we give a smile to someone, if we kiss a child, or if we shake our hands with someone, if we greet someone, then people are not going to be afraid of us anymore. And many times people are very stern, even in their speech, very harsh in their speech. Why? To keep other people under control. And they think that gentleness is going to spoil other people. You know how people say that don't show love to your children, otherwise they will become spoiled. But the fact is that children never get spoiled by love. They only gain your trust when you show them love. What spoils them is when you don't correct them properly. Remember that not showing love is not going to give you honor. It is in fact going to make you very small in the sight of other people. So if you were fadlan or غليظ القلب, then what would happen? لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have dispersed away from you. لَنْفَضُّ is from the root letters fa, dad, dad. The word fidda is from the same root letters. What does fidda mean? Silver. And I mentioned to you earlier that fadda literally means to scatter, to break. Why? Because fidda, silver, what happens to it? You have to give zakat on it, you have to give sadaqah on it, as a currency as well. It's used, so what happens? It's broken away. It scatters. And infidad is to scatter, to disperse. But how? It is when gradually a group of people disperses away. So for instance, there are 50 people sitting in one place. What happens? One leaves, and then the other leaves, and then three more people leave, and then five more people leave, and then six more people leave, until eventually everybody else has gone. Everybody has left, and there's nobody left. So this is what infidal is. So if you were fadl and ghaliz al-qalb, what would happen? The Sahaba, they would have dispersed away from you, from around you, meaning they would not stay with you. Because one thing that people cannot tolerate is what? Being humiliated, being insulted. People don't mind doing a lot of hard work, but what people do mind is when they're insulted and when they're humiliated. So if you humiliated them, if you insulted them, then what would happen? They wouldn't stay with you. Over here we see that the Prophet ﷺ is being praised in his dealing with the companions despite their disobedience, despite the fact that they did not obey him, all of them. Some of them did, but some of them did not. Now generally, typically, if someone disobeys, especially in this way, when there are so many consequences, what should be done? What should be done? Punishment should be given. They should be held accountable. But over here, the Prophet ﷺ's reaction was of leniency, of being kind, of being gentle, not shouting at them, not swearing at them, at not showing any harshness even in action, even in behavior. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ was also praised in Surah Al-Qalam, ayah number 4, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed, you are of a great moral character. This is what the character of the Prophet ﷺ was. The Prophet ﷺ said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنِي بِمُدَارَاتِ النَّاسِ كَمَا أَمَرَنِي بِإِقَامَةِ الْفَرَائِضِ. Indeed, Allah has commanded me to be forgiving and well-wishing to the people, as He has commanded me to establish the obligations. Just as performing the salah, giving the zakah is mandatory, similarly being nice to people is also mandatory. We also learn from a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, حُرِّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ كُلُّ هَيِّنٍ لَيِّنٍ سَهْلٍ قَرِيبٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Notice, layyin, from lean. That haram upon the fire is every humble, soft, easy, and close of the people. A person who is very humble, a person who is very soft, a person who is very easy in his dealing with other people, and he's also close to people, he's also very approachable, such a person, fire is haram upon him, and he is haram upon the hellfire, meaning he's never going to hellfire. Then Allah says, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ, so pardon them. What does عَفُ mean? To pardon, to forgive someone, and not punish them, not take revenge. So فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ, don't punish them. Now the Prophet ﷺ is being told to forgive them and not punish them. Why? Because they're also humans. They can also make mistakes. Despite the fact there were so many consequences of their mistake, still Allah is saying فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ, and not just forgive them, but وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, and also seek forgiveness for them. From who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then don't cut them off, but وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and consult them in the matter. Which matter? Any important matter which affects them. Continue to consult them. Continue to take their advice. See what they have to say. Because if you look at it, it was the suggestion of some of the companions that we should go outside of Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ wished to stay inside Medina. And if you find out that this person, he gave me this suggestion, and then he is the one who didn't listen, and because of him everything was turned upside down, what are you going to think? Next time, I'm not talking to them. Next time, I'm not taking their advice. What is the Prophet ﷺ told over here? وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Shawir is from the root letter Sheen wa Ra. And Shawr literally means to look nice. What does it mean? To look nice. Shura, consultation, taking counsel, seeking advice from other people. When a person seeks advice from other people, and when people are discussing something together, that whole view looks so nice. The people are together, they're united, they're talking, they're discussing. It shows unity. And it also shows the niceness of a person. That he's not selfish. He's not only concerned about himself, that whatever I say must be done, and I don't care about what other people have to say. No. Shura is to consult each other, to take each other's advice. Sharad dabba is to ride a beast, to ride an animal in order to try it, in order to ascertain its worth, in order to see how good it runs. Just as when you want to buy a car, you go for a test drive, right? So similarly, people would test drive their animals to see the worth. So similarly, when people are discussing, when they're taking counsel, when they're taking advice from each other, it's as if they're going on a test drive. That if we do such and such, what do you think will happen? If we don't do this, what do you think will happen? The whole picture becomes clear when you consult with one another. So, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, and also consult them in the matter. In which matter? The matters which are important and the matters which affect them. When it comes to the commands of the deen, the laws of the deen, obviously with regards to them, there is no shura. For instance, you're not going to go ask someone, should I pray salah or not? Why? It's mandatory, right? Similarly, when it comes to little issues, you're not going to go seek advice from other people. Should I take a shower or not? Should I eat or not? You're not going to take advice from people on little things, because if you do, it's going to waste your time and it's going to make life very difficult for you. You should be able to independently make decisions for yourselves when it comes to these matters. Should I eat or not? Should I go here or not? If it's something that only affects you, then you decide yourself. But if it's a matter that affects other people, if it is a matter that affects other people, then you must take the advice of those people who are going to be affected by it. And you can't just say, okay, this is what you have to do and too bad. You can't say anything. No, you must take their advice. For example, as women, you have to cook at home. Now, if you decide the menu yourself, despite the fact that your husband doesn't like that food, can you just say that, no, too bad, you have to eat this? What's going to happen? If you don't take shura from them, it's going to make dinner time very difficult. Huh? But if you take their advice, if you say, okay, what do you think? Should we have this today or should we have that today? Because it affects them, you should take their advice and not give them the same food each and every day, because it's going to make the matter difficult for you and them. So شَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ, take their consultation in matters that affect them, in collective matters. So for instance, when it comes to battle, where should we fight from? Inside Medina, outside Medina? What do you think? What do you have to say? And the Prophet ﷺ, he did shura with the companions before, at the Battle of Badr, as well as at Uhud. And he continued this practice. He continued this practice afterwards as well. We learn in Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the believers that وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, and their affair is determined by consultation among themselves. That they consult one another and then they decide. They don't make a decision by themselves and then tell other people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received wahi. He received revelation. And he was a leader. If he wanted, he would not have taken any shura from anyone. But still he is told, take shura. Why? What's the benefit? Why is it important? Why is it important to take shura from other people? To see different possibilities. Because one person can only think one way. But when you discuss the matter with other people, then what happens? You get more ideas. You get more suggestions. And maybe somebody else's suggestion is much better than yours. It's much more practical than yours. And everybody is involved. You see, in our deen, there is no dictatorship. There is no, you know, that one person decides everything and other people, they have to take it, even if they disagree, or even if they weren't given the freedom to say anything about it. No. If somebody is going to be affected by something, then they must be given the right to voice their concern. Which is why we have a suggestions box. That you should also give suggestions, give feedback. Another benefit of shura is that it develops trust between people. And it also makes other people accepting of the decision. You see, you could make a decision on your own. And other people, just because they're under you, they might accept. But if you discuss the matter with them, then what's going to happen? They're going to be more accepting. For instance, you want to cook chicken. And you tell your husband, what do you think? Should we cook chicken? Should we have chicken today? And you know that he doesn't like it. But you say, do you think we should have it? I was thinking because of this and this reason. Just because you consulted with them, they will be more receptive to accepting your suggestion. And if you just made it yourself, what would they do? No way. You can eat it by yourself. Similarly, if you are to come here to school, and if you just go and fill up the admissions form yourself, and just tell your husband, too bad, I'm going 5 days a week to school in the mornings. See you in the evening. Is that going to make it difficult for them to accept? Yes. But if you discuss it with them before, what's going to happen? They will cooperate with you. They will cooperate with you. And if you don't discuss with them, then what's going to happen? They might not cooperate with you, even if they agree with you. So when we discuss with other people, we gain their support. We gain their support. We learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, he said, I have not seen anyone who consults more with his companions than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he consulted with his companions, who are we? Who are we? And also, if we consult with other people, they own the work then. They take ownership of the work. Just as, for example, the Sahaba, if they weren't consulted and they were told, okay, this is where we have to go, would they take ownership? Would they be involved? No. But because they were consulted, their opinion was heard. Whatever decision was made, you know, they took ownership of whatever was to be done. And with regards to the rules of shura, with regards to the etiquettes of consultation, first of all, we must remember that shura must only be done in matters which are important and about which there is no clear guidance in the sharia. Secondly, all those who are affected by that matter, by that decision, they must be consulted. For instance, if you want to renovate your house and you don't consult your children and you don't know if they're going to have their exams or something, and you say, too bad, we're going to renovate, but they're going to have their exams, how are they going to study? If you consult them, why? Because the matter is going to affect them. It's going to make it easier for you and them. It's going to reduce conflicts. And thirdly, the third rule is that it is necessary that the person who is giving his opinion, he should do it with honesty. He should do it with well-wishing and sincerity. The Prophet ﷺ said, when someone is consulted for advice, he should give the advice that he would want for himself. He should give the advice which he would want for himself. And also, when you take the shura and finally something has been agreed upon, then you must not change it without letting other people know. You must not change your mind afterwards without letting other people know. If you change your mind, let other people know. And the thing is that when you're taking advice from other people, because you are the in charge, you have the right to choose whatever opinion. Nobody can force you to take their advice. So if you're giving advice to someone, don't force them to accept your advice. If you're giving advice to someone, don't force them to accept your advice. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And then when you have made up your mind, what does azm mean? Determination, resolve. When you have made up your mind, then trust upon Allah. Be decisive and then rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't trust on the shura. Many times we spend so much time in discussing, and after making the decision, what do? We put our trust on other people. What does Allah say? Trust upon who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Allah loves those people who trust upon Him, who rely upon Him. And because He loves them, He will help them. He will assist them. Because you can do all the shura, you can plan all the logistics, but how are you going to make sure that your plan works out? It cannot work out except with the help of Allah. When you trust upon Him, then you gain His love. When you gain His love, you gain His help. Recitation.
فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَانفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ